You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in. It is BetLA here on 710 ESPN LA. Again, brought to you by Teza. Nutrient pouches. I've used them all summer. It's definitely helped my golfing game, that's for sure. Prior to me teeing off, I have a Teza energy pouch that I place between my cheek and my gum, and man, I am laser focused. I broke 80 a few times this summer, and not just because of my pure athleticism, but a lot of it has to do with Teza as well, especially when you turn nine. You know, sometimes you play the front nine, you turn that nine, and you're like, oh man, I'm a little spent. Man, you pop in one of those Teza pouches and you're ready to go. All right, we've got a lot for you tonight. With you for the next 3 hours, getting you ready for the weekend, where you want to wager your money. College football, of course, USC, big game against Utah. Also, a lot of NBA. Rams going up against Carolina. David Newton, who covers the Carolina Panthers, is going to be joining us on the program. Give us behind the curtain look in regard to what's going on. As we know, one of the biggest storylines is that they fired Matt Rhule. So very unfortunate for Matt Rhule. But, you know, what happens with a team in regard to those kind of changes, right? So there's that. And then Jeff Legwald is going to be joining us as well. He covers the Denver Broncos. As we know, Monday Night Football, Denver going up against the Chargers. So we'll talk to Jeff. So we'll get a really insight information on both the opponents for the Rams and the Chargers tonight. So really excited about that. Also, Randy Robles from the Elias Sports Bureau is going to be joining us on the program, giving us the Elias Nuggets, quote unquote, to get us ready for week six. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Week six of the NFL season? I can't. I can't believe it. And also Fat Jack, professional handicapper, is going to be joining us on the program as well, getting us ready for both NFL and college football. We talk a little NBA. I've got some NBA futures bets for you. As well as some Major League Baseball as we are into the postseason. But where do we stand right now? I always like to, we typically on Thursday nights, we launch the show around the time that the Thursday night football game is coming to a close. And it looks like it's pretty unfortunate right now. By the way, we've got Tyler and Rebecca who are producing the show.
Hey.
Hi.
You're telling me there's a football game being played right now?
Yeah. Is anybody watching? Am I the only one watching because I have money on the game?
I was told nobody showed up.
Is that what's happening right now? I'm the only one watching. So heading into this game, the score right now is Washington is up 12-7 against the Chicago Bears. And the game is over and Washington has won. My play was on the Bears getting the 1 point. Now, a few things that have gone wrong here. Number one, the Bears were twice in a position to kick a field goal, and they neglected not to do so. So that is 6 points that is not on the board right now, which obviously 6 + 7 = 13. So they're right there within itself. The Chicago Bears would have won. So that's that. On top of that, many a times they made it into the red zone because you have Justin Fields, who's just uber athletic. And just to give you, for those who do have Justin Fields on their fantasy team, 187 passing yards, a touchdown, an interception, and also 88 rushing yards. 88 rushing yards. My favorite quarterback prop bet tonight was Justin Fields over 214.5 passing and rushing yards combined. I did play that, so obviously winner, winner, chicken dinner. But nonetheless, since I did play the Bears plus one and they lost 12-7, I am not winner, winner, chicken dinner there. I just felt like this Washington team, they came in, they've lost four straight. Ron Rivera throws his quarterback under the bus on like national, I don't know, TV, radio, whatever his press conference was. On top of that, there's a lot of drama happening around the ownership, and Dan Snyder reports out of ESPN in regard to him having quote unquote damaging information on Roger Goodell and other NFL owners. That's definitely a distraction for this team coming into a Thursday night game on a short work week. I felt like the Bears, even though they lost to the Giants and they lost to the Minnesota Vikings, they only lost by one score. And you know what? Can say the same thing tonight. Again, 12-7. They only lost by one score. Now it's three games that Chicago has only lost by one score. So what's that telling you? It's telling you that their defense is pretty rock solid. But unfortunately, their offense is lackluster. And I know quite a few people out there were like all crazy, goo-goo gaga Justin Fields coming out of the draft. And one thing about me is that I'm a big draft nut. I'm a big draft guru, as I like to call myself. I'll call myself that. It's okay. But I go to Indianapolis each and every season for the draft. I love speaking to a number of the scouts there. I get a plethora of information while I'm there, and the scouts that I spoke to, no one was uber excited about Justin Fields. And now I'm seeing all the reasons why. He's not comfortable being a pocket quarterback in the NFL. And I'm not saying that you have to be a pocket quarterback, right? Because we're seeing Lamar Jackson, who's obviously not a pocket quarterback. But if you need to be in the pocket, if you are going up against defenses that are taking away your rushing attack as a quarterback, you need to have the comfortability of being a pocket quarterback. It doesn't mean that a team has to scheme for you to be a pocket quarterback, but in the moments and the time that you're going up against an opposing defense that is taking away what you do innately athletically, you have to be able to perform in the pocket. And Justin Fields cannot. And tonight was a microcosm of exactly why scouts that I spoke to while I was in Indianapolis and why teams did not draft him earlier. And there were a number of fans out there, especially here in New York, that were flabbergasted that Justin Fields didn't go sooner. And we're seeing all the reasons why, right? Another thing is, so the head coach for the Chicago Bears was the former defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. So he knows Wentz better than anyone. Now, again, Washington put up, look, at the end of the day, God, and I'd love Tyler and Rebecca, please chime in here. At the end of the day, if a team only puts up 12 points, you should beat them. If you have a better quarterback, some would argue, right? You've got a better core of players, some would argue. But you and especially in this day and age in the NFL, where the officiating favors offense over defense, you should be able to put up more than 7 points against a Washington football team that's not outstanding when it comes to their defense. Agree or disagree?
100% agree. If you can't beat a team that put up 12 points, and this is
12 points.
We're talking about
it's 12-7.
Four field goals, right? No touchdowns.
It's 12. We're talking about 12. Well, no, they did. They Washington scored a touchdown. Brian Robinson scored a touchdown. So I'll give you the stats right now. So Carson Wentz, 99 passing yards, no touchdown, no interception. Whew, isn't that a surprise? Brian Robinson couldn't be, let's be honest, guys, couldn't be a better story right now, right? In the NFL, in regard to Brian Robinson. In Washington, car hijacking and gets shot in his leg several times, like weeks before the season starts, comes back. This is his second game, 17 carries, 60 yards and a touchdown. By the way, my best bet tonight on Daily Wager on ESPN was Brian Robinson over 11 and a half attempts. He has 17. So let's just say I crushed that. That was my best bet. Thank God I did, because I did take the Bears plus one. Unfortunately, if you have Terry McLaurin on your fantasy roster, no bueno. Three receptions for 41 yards. And that's really it. Nothing else to write home about. Really, on the Washington side, the only guy who really produced for you offensively was Brian Robinson with 17 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown. As for the Chicago Bears, again, Justin Fields, 187 passing yards, 88 rushing yards. Unbelievable. His longest of 39. David Montgomery carried the ball 15 times. He only put up 67 yards. Meanwhile, Herbert carried the ball 7 times and put up 75 yards. So he averaged over 10 yards per carry, where David Montgomery averaged less than 5. Okay, that's huge. And the organization needs to take note. That's all I'm saying. Darnell Mooney, 11 targets, 6 of 65, but did not find the end zone. Dante Pettis was the recipient of course, Justin Fields' touchdown pass. So he was 4 of 84 with a touchdown, but I highly doubt that anyone owns or has Dante Pettis on their fantasy league. And we'll just end it with that. Again, the final score, Washington 12, Chicago 7. Quick break. Let's talk about some of the other NFL games out there. Some of the big ones, right? Like Kansas City and the Buffalo Bills and the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll dive into those next. Also, if you want to chime in, please, we'd love to hear from you. 877-710-3776. Anita Marks with you. This is Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Why? Whose song choice is this? I'm just curious. I love it. Do you even remember this movie?
Yes, I don't remember this movie. I wasn't.
I don't even think you were born when this movie came out.
No.
Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Fever. I don't even think you were alive, Rebecca, when this movie came out. Were you?
No.
No.
We've got a 70s theme going on tonight.
Do we? Okay.
Yeah.
What? Tell me why.
I don't know.
Because
we did 80s last week and 90s.
Okay. All right. No, listen. Just tell me what you guys want to do. I'll follow your lead. Like, I'm all about it. Like, my friends call me Julie McCoy because I'm OCD and I plan everything. But I am so cool in following somebody else's lead. Nobody typically likes to lead. So you guys, if you guys want to lead, I will follow.
All right.
Which obviously you are. So true story, I had to sneak into the movie theater to watch Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta.
How old were you when you saw it?
7.
Oh my goodness.
7.
That's a little young 7. To see that movie.
I was. My babysitter and I, we went, I convinced her to for us to go, and we snuck in. She snuck me in. And wait, it gets even better. So I grew up in Miami, Florida. And when you grow up in Miami, it's typically, you know, when you vacation, you either go on a boat cruise or you go to Orlando, Florida, and you go to Disney World. That's what you do, right? Like you vacation, you know, you don't want to go longer than, like, you know, 3 days, or, you know, if you do go for a week, right? So you're all the way at the bottom of the country. So you only have so many options, right? It's not like you have a lot of options to do much. So my family, we used to cruise a lot. And so when you go on a boat cruise, there's talent contests. So I want to say when I was like 10 or 11, I participated in the talent contest on the boat cruise, and I did Saturday Night Fever, the whole like disco dance scene. You know, where he's like taking his finger and he's going from his hip to the air, his hip to the air. Yeah.
Yeah. The disco move.
Oh man. I was so discoed out. It was totally my jam.
Did you win?
I came in third.
Ooh.
And I was 7, or I'm sorry. I was like, I think at that point I was like 10 or 11, but like, I don't think I deserved to come in the top. I think it was one of those like, oh, she's so cute, she's adorable, she did all the dance moves.
Give it to the little kid.
Yeah, give it to the little girl. No, yeah, exactly.
You'd be proud of your third place. Come on.
I'm so proud. So anyway, so when you play that, it took me back. It took me back to my boat cruise where I participated in the talent contest. But nonetheless. How have we derailed here? I apologize. Anyway, you are listening to Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. Let's get you up to speed on some of the news and notes out there with some of the players that you need to be in the know about. And also, I want to talk about the two biggest matchups. And I'm just curious, guys. Like on Sun. Okay, so a few things I need to get to know. Like, so Tyler and Rebecca, like, what do you do on? Do you guys work on Sunday? Do you work at the radio station on Sundays?
When there's a Rams game, yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, the majority of the time there's a Rams game, right, on the Sunday?
Yeah, so during football season, Sunday's most likely going to be here, yes.
Okay. And so I want to imagine that there's like a plethora of TV screens in the studio, right? So while you're there, like, so to me, the two most exciting games that are going to be available this week, Bills Chiefs, that's at 4:00. And then Cowboys Eagles, that's the Sunday night game. And to me, these are can't miss games. Agree or disagree?
Oh, they're going to be electric. Absolutely.
Right? Like I think they're can't miss. So I'm going to share with you what my picks and my plays are for those two games. But first, let's get you in the know in regard to what's going on around the NFL, players that are injured, and whatnot. Especially for all you fantasy football freaks out there, like me. I'm in 12 leagues, so you can call me a freak. I won't be offended. Trust me. There are four. So by the way, this is the first week that we have four teams on a bye. Okay, so I just can't stand bye weeks. I can't. And I don't about, like, I don't draft according to a bye week. I know a lot of people do. They're like, oh, I can't draft two quarterbacks who have the same bye week. It's too in-depth for me.
Huh.
I don't do it.
Okay.
But I'm sure because I don't do that, it causes me more angst right now. When we're in bye weeks,
it absolutely does.
Do you look at the bye weeks when you're drafting?
I'll typically draft my starters, and then I'll start taking account into bye weeks and who is going to be more challenging to replace when their bye week comes up, and then I'll typically start targeting their replacement for that specific bye week. Yeah.
Hmm.
Especially quarterbacks. Now, If I remember my team correctly the last time I had one, granted, I'm taking this season off, I'll admit, but I'm still following it very closely. But when I had Patrick Mahomes, I made sure to take Lamar Jackson as my secondary quarterback. So when I slotted him in during the bye week, I wasn't going to feel the impact, really, of not having Patrick Mahomes that week. So those are typically the kinds of positions that I will target when it comes to preparing for bye weeks down the road. Quarterback, sometimes even special teams. Like if I can swing a defense, you know, a backup defense early, I might do that just, you know, as kind of a two-way sabotage / prepare myself for bye week kind of situation. It really just depends on where I am in the draft order.
You're so savvy.
Thank you.
So this week, bye week, Raiders, Titans, Lions, and is it Jags? Texans. Sorry, I'm trying to read my handwriting. Raiders, Titans, Lions, and Texans, all on a bye. Quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield on IR, ankle, good. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. PJ Walker is getting the start for Carolina. And oh, by the way, he's going up against the Rams. Teddy Bridgewater out. Tua expected to be out as of right now. Skylar Thompson is going to be quarterbacking for the Miami Dolphins. Dak Prescott, even though he's trying to show off his talents at practice, looks like Cooper Rush is going to get the start again against the Eagles. Russell Wilson dealing with a shoulder, but he's expected to start. Also, Mac Jones, I hear he's looking good at practice. I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Jones is back under center for the Patriots this week. So those are quarterbacks you need to be in the know about. In regard to running backs, Rashad Penny out on IR. Hopefully you have Walker. Hopefully you had Walker on your bench. If not, you have probably had to fight for him in free agency. And whoever got him, well, kudos to you. I think he's going to get a really, really big volume share of carries this week. James Conner dealing with ribs. I do believe he does play. If he doesn't, well, then that's a problem. Harris is out for the Patriots. Stevenson, who looked great last week, put up phenomenal numbers for you last week. Hopefully he can do the same for you this week. Saquon Barkley's dealing with a shoulder. I hear he's going to be ready to go A-okay this week against the Green Bay Packers. Well, no, I'm sorry. They play the Baltimore Ravens. Green Bay was last week in London. Darrell Williams is out as well for Arizona. So just FYI. Wide receivers. McKenzie is dealing with a concussion. I want to say that he practiced today, but he was limited. I still like Khalil Shakir, who crushed it last week. If you have room on your bench, stash him. He was the star stud of training camp for the Buffalo Bills. And once given the opportunity, he is going to really do wonderful things. So again, if you're in a deep league or you've got room on your bench, Shakir from the Buffalo Bills, stash him. Julio Jones is dealing with a knee. Russell Gage is dealing with an ankle. Godwin is dealing with a hip and knee. A lot of injuries there for the Tampa Bay Bucks and Tom Brady. Rashad Bateman is dealing with a foot. Chances are he's going to be out for the Baltimore Ravens. Duvernay will step up as the number one wide receiver. But of course, Mark Andrews, of course, is the number one target for Lamar Jackson. T. Higgins is dealing with an ankle. Keep an eye on that. Olave is dealing with a concussion with the Saints. Keep an eye on that. Tony's out. Slayton really got the lion's share of the targets last week for the Giants. There is a chance that Wandale Robinson is going to play this week. Keep an eye on that. Again, if you have room on your roster, I recommend that you pick him up and you stash him. If it's not this week, hopefully it's next week. But the kid is a stud and he's a star. And the Giants have no one really exciting in their wide receiving core. And once he is healthy and he's playing and he's active, I think he's going to do some good things. Tyreek Hill is dealing with a foot, but reports out of Miami is that he's going to play. And just know that if you have Devontae Adams, be aware that chances are he's going to be suspended for a few games for pushing that photographer after the game, after the the Las Vegas Raiders lost. So if you have Devontae Adams, just keep that in mind. If Hunter Renfrow is out there on the waiver wire, you might want to pick him up now and stash him for what's to come. Tight ends, Taysom Hill has just been an absolute beast. Couldn't have happened to a nicer young man. Love me some Taysom Hill. Hoping that we see more of Taysom Hill in that Saints offense for sure. Freiermuth for the Pittsburgh Steelers dealing with a concussion, but was limited at practice today. I do expect him to play this week. Schultz from the Dallas Cowboys. Not sure if he's going to play, so keep an eye on that. Daniel Knox did not play last week. Keep an eye on him, whether or not he's going to play this week as well. So there's those are the players that you need to be in the know about. When we come back, we'll do a deep dive into the Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. That is, in my opinion, that is the game of the week. Not to take anything away from the Cowboys and the Eagles. Always a great matchup. But let's be honest. The Bills and the Chiefs are it. And we will dive into that next. You're listening to Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. Anita Marks with you. We'll be right back. Do you guys know this song?
Of course. I'm not going to sing it, but I know it.
Okay.
Don't go breaking my heart, Anita.
Oh, I won't. Welcome back. It is Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA on this Thursday night. If you're just tuning in, unfortunately, if you're a Bears fan, duh Bears. What a great Saturday Night Live skit that was. They unfortunately lost to Washington 12-7. Needless to say, the score will tell you just how how horrible this game was to watch. You know, if you did have prop bets like I did, invested in it, my best bet tonight was Brian Robinson over 11.5 carries. Sure enough, he had 17 for 60 yards and a touchdown. But man, this game was brutal. The Chicago Bears are just brutal. So Chicago's now sitting at 2-3. And the Commanders should be updated. Yeah. So Chicago's 2-4. The Commanders are so both Chicago and the Commanders are 2-4. And so there's that. Let's talk about some more exciting games that are on the slate coming up this weekend. And so a 4 o'clock game, of course, on the East Coast. So what would that be? 1 o'clock, right? 1 o'clock game with you guys.
Yeah, yep, 1 o'clock.
You've got the Bills going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Guys, here's what I don't understand. You've got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as a home dog. How are you not taking that? And no disrespect to the Buffalo Bills, you know, amazing team. And chances are they're going to win. But this Kansas City Chiefs team is just as good. I'm not going to say better, but I feel could stay lockstep with the Buffalo Bills. So, and they're home. Which, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is 7-0-1. Against the spread as a dog. Okay? 7-0-1 against the spread as a dog.
I don't like betting against Patrick Mahomes.
I don't like this line. I don't think this line is correct, to be quite frank. So I'm on the Kansas City Chiefs side, and if I could get them at +3.5, I always like if it's on the plus side, I always like the hook. If it's on the minus side, I'll buy the hook down. I don't like having the hook, but nonetheless, for a few reasons. Let's start with this Kansas City Chiefs defense. They have Chris Jones, who's an absolute beast. The Bills' entire offensive line is pretty solid, but the interior of the offensive line is not great. They rank 26th in the NFL. So I think Chris Jones has a huge opportunity to wreak some havoc for Josh Allen. Not to say that I'm not saying here telling you that he's going to sack him, but I do believe that he's going to disrupt him this week. Okay. Also, Kansas City gets Trent McDuffie back, one of their corners, who's quite good. So there's that. Meanwhile, for the Bills, their secondary is an infirmary. They've been injured really the majority of the season. So there's that, which doesn't bode well for them, obviously, especially going up against Patrick Mahomes. And the majority of the time, and it is kind of ignorant, not ignorant, that's not the word I meant. what's the word I'm looking for? Arrogant. It is kind of arrogant that the Buffalo Bills pretty much like 70-75% of the time just play this like, we're only going to rush four and we're going to play zone defense and try to beat us. Listen, if you have the horses in your stable that you're able to do that, and oh, by the way, a number of their horses are injured, well then God bless you, all the power to you. But it is an arrogant way of playing defense in the NFL, where like you've got a number of teams out there that are trying to scheme for this quarterback, and we're going to play cover two, we're going to play cover three, we're going to blitz, we're going to send a guy, we're not. Like the Buffalo Bills are like, this is what we do. We're only going to rush for it, and we're going to play zone. And so try to beat us. Like, it's like, so do it. Like it's just, it is an arrogant way of playing. But one thing about Patrick Mahomes is he's actually quite good against zone coverage. So there's that. And then here's the really big nugget for you. And that is the officiating crew that's going to officiate the Kansas City Bills game is Brad Allen, and home dogs cover 67% of the time when Brad Allen has a say since 2016. Marinating that for a minute. Home dogs cover 67% of the time since 2016 when Brad Allen is part of the officiating crew. I really, really like Kansas City. Tyler, Rebecca, do you guys have a play in this matchup?
Presently, I don't have a play in the matchup, like, from a betting perspective. But I think that if I had to bet, I probably would err on the side of caution only because both of these teams are so electric. If I'm having to choose, I'm most
so would you so would you like the over in this? Is the over enticing to you?
Even then it's tough because you don't know how much you can rely on the defense of each team. Obviously you've got Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, who both have really appealing targets, both in Kelce and Stephon Diggs, and then you factor in Schultz, you factor in the wide receiving core that Patrick Mahomes has. But it's tough to say. Are they going to be throwing bombs all game long and we're going to have a really high score? Or is it going to be a shootout? I don't know. It's tough. But if I'm having to choose, I'm going to obviously lean towards the side of KC. The stats reflect well in favor of them. Patrick Mahomes is at home. The Chiefs rarely underperform or don't perform well when they're at home. And despite it being the Bills, if I'm having to choose, I'm taking the home team. And the home team here is KC.
The over-under, by the way, is 54.
Yeah, it's way too high.
I'm going under, and I'm going to say it's like 30. It is high, but if you forced me to play it, I would take the over. But
I'm not playing
the over under. I am going to play Kansas City. I'm going to play Kansas City plus three. If you get that by plus 3.5, well then kudos to you. The other big game that I feel that is going to be quite exciting is obviously the Cowboys and the Eagles, a divisional rival. The Eagles are getting 6.5. This is how I'm going to play the Eagles at 6.5, minus 6.5. I'm also going to use them as a two-team six-point teaser. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to align them with somebody like, let's say, the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are going up against the Steelers. Tom Brady owns the Steelers. 35 touchdown passes in his career against the Steelers. And he's and that line is minus 8. So I'm going to tease the Bucks down to minus 2. So pretty much what you're doing is you're pretty much saying that you're making the Bucks a pick'em, and you're making the Eagles a pick'em. It's pretty much what you're doing. Okay, so that's who I would align the Eagles with. Okay, for a number of reasons. Who have the Cowboys beaten? Cincinnati. Follow me here, guys. Okay, Cincinnati with Joe Burrow post appendix surgery. Where, by the way, I know we've talked about it on the show. His appendix burst. It wasn't like, ooh, I've got a pain, and they go in arthroscopically and they just remove the appendix. No, his appendix burst. So Cincinnati, the Giants, Washington, and with all due respect, a horrible Rams team. This Rams team is god-awful right now. Let's be honest, okay? So who has the Cowboys beaten? Really, in my opinion, no one. Cooper Rush, with all due respect, possibly the best storyline right now in the NFL, but 6 touchdown passes in 5 games. There is no way that that offense is going to be able to stay lockstep with the Philadelphia Eagles. There is just no way. Dallas is only getting into the red zone at 30%. I'm sorry. I take that back. Dallas is ranked 30th in the NFL in regard to just getting into the red zone. Once they're in the red zone, they're only scoring a touchdown at 35%. Okay? Parsons is dealing with a groin. At the end of the day, I don't see how this Cowboys offense is going to be able to stay up to speed with Jalen Hurts in this Eagles offense. I just don't see it. So I like the Eagles -6.5. What say you? 877-710-3776. Anina Marks with you. It is Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. Midnight train to Georgia. Anina Marks with you here on Bet LA, 710 ESPN LA. Let's talk some college football. Getting you ready for many, many, many people feel that this is one of the best slates so far this year in college football in what we can wager on. And I've got 3 college football plays for you. First and foremost, let's talk about Penn State and Michigan. Michigan's favored by 7. The over-under is at 51.5. How am I playing this? I'm going to play the first half under at 26.5. And then I'm going to take that money that I won. And because now I'm going to be playing with house money, right? And I'm going to invest it in the under, or I'm going to double up in the under at 51.5 as well. Why? This is a Big Ten showdown at the Big House. And the last 7 games Michigan has played at the Big House, the under has won 6-1. 6 of the 7 times the under has won. Also, the last 8 times that these two teams have played each other, the under has hit 6 of the last 8. How about that? So Michigan is averaging 13 points a game in the first half. Blake Crum, of course, is going to be going up against a Penn State run defense that ranks top 10 in college football. And Michigan defense is only allowing the second least yards per play to their opponents. So I like, and this is a really big number. This number really surprises me somewhat. So I just think both these defenses are too good for this number to be at 51.5, and I'm surprised. So my play in this game is certainly the under. Probably one of the biggest games. Now, guys, Tyler and Rebecca, do you guys watch college football? Are you guys into college football? Do you watch a lot of college football?
I don't watch a lot of college football, but occasionally I'll tune into like a USC game. Sometimes a UCLA game if I'm feeling it.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously UCLA looked great against Utah.
They did.
Last week. I'm gonna get to that game in just a second, but this Alabama-Tennessee game I think is going to be quite interesting. So Alabama's favored by 7.5 against Tennessee, and it's at Tennessee. The over-under is at 66, which I find surprising as well, considering we don't know if Bryce Young's going to play or not. Bryce Young, starting quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So even if he does play, let's be honest, he's not going to be 100%. Okay? So, and a few other things here. You know, I know that Alabama's undefeated, but they have won ugly. You know, they almost lost to Texas. They almost lost to Texas A&M. Meanwhile, if you've watched Tennessee's game, they've won pretty. 41-13 against a good LSU defense last week. And they've got a pretty impressive quarterback in Hinson Hooker, whose name now is thrown in the pot to try to win the Heisman. And this is going to be a huge opportunity for him to shine. Big stage against Alabama. the country watching, the country tuning in to see if Nick Saban's going to lose? Are you kidding me? And also, this is a Tennessee team. Their offense is third best in the country in EPA. So I love Tennessee here. Give me Tennessee in the points. Give me Tennessee plus 7.5. I'll take it all day. Whether Bryce Young plays or not, I like this Tennessee team. So that's my play there. And last but not least, USC and Utah. I think the wrong team's favored here, with all due respect. I'm not just saying that because I'm here on the airwaves in LA. USC getting the 3.5. I think they're the better team getting the points. They've had better competition. Utah lost to Florida week one. They got manhandled by UCLA last week in the trenches. Their defense didn't look great. Caleb Williams is just unbelievable. And USC plus 2.33 in turnover margin against their opponents. So they've been pretty spectacular. Can't wait to see the matchup of Addison against Clark Phillips. You're talking about the best wide receiver, arguably, in the country, going up against arguably the best corner in the country. This is going to be a great matchup to watch. But I really do love USC. And again, I do believe the wrong team is favored here. So I'm going to take USC with the points. So those are my three college plays heading into Saturday.